The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlacha and Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Mem Vav. Today's daf is being studied by Mishmak Murzikini Yosef Ben Sarah Ben Marat Zikini Atiyafa Bat Sarah Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Terechem Ben Eden Amen Fash Shalema Moshe Ben Sarah Sarah Ruhama Bat Rahay Vesara Bat Rahay Moshe Ben Dina Eilana Fala Lahem Fata Nefesh Fata Gufatam Kira Bala Bo Vechen Yira Sova Namar Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem He Amud Bet, starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Hamotzi Et Ishto Mishum Shem Ra Lo Yahzir. A person, let's say, divorced his wife because Shemra, she had a bad name on her, which means there was rumors that she committed zlut. Okay, it wasn't confirmed, but that's the reason why he divorced her. Lo Yahzir. So the Mishnah says very clearly, you're not allowed to take her back. Even though according to the Torah law, as long as she didn't get married to anybody else in the interim, the husband normally is allowed to take his Girusha back. In this case over here, however, if that was the reason why he divorced her because of Sefik Znut, do not take her back. We will see why. Mishum Neder. Or let's say, because of Nedarim, which means she's a Nedranit. She makes a lot of Nedarim. So this guy comes along and says, I'm not interested in being married to a lady that's constantly making Nedarim. So also the Mishnah says, Lo Yahzir. Once he divorces her, do not take her back. So let's see that she's going to give us maybe a reason why this is so. So let's see. Yeah, we get clear. Exactly. Even if it was cleared up. Look at Ashi. Lo yachzir. Va'afilu nimsi'u devarim bada'im. Even if it's found out after that the whole thing was just rumors. It was false. Or haneder itiru hakam. Or let's say, all those nedarim that she made, a rabbi absolved her from them. So nedarim anar ona. So what's the problem? Ve'ta'ama peligi ba'a amura'e. It's machlok in the Gemara. Ashi gives it to us now. Ikaleman damar mishum kilkula. The concern over here is kilkul. What is kilkul? I'll explain to you what it means. Where were we like this? Guy says, I'm not marrying this lady over here. I'm getting divorced. She's committing a znut. Right? Gives her the get. Beautiful. She gets married to somebody else. She has children. All of a sudden, the real story comes out. She didn't commit the znut. Now, what does the guy say? If I would have known that she really didn't commit the znut, I wouldn't have divorced her in the first place, and therefore now the get is going to be nullified, and now she's really married, now you have Mamzerim on the second marriage over there. So the Achamim told the guy, listen, once you're doing this over here, you can't take her back. Mm-hmm. It's over. So therefore the guy is doing it conclusively, okay? The second reason is, that she continues, Mishum Kikav, Ika Leman Damar, Kenasu, Shelo Yu Benot Yosef Pirutzot Ba'arayot Benedari. Another reason is, we don't want the ladies to become promiscuous now when it comes to Arayot, or just making the Darim all over the place, so they punish them. So listen, if the husband's divorced you because you're like this over here, or your rumor, you're not taking your back. So if it's a Kenas, in order that the ladies will not become promiscuous, or involved in making many nidarim. Okay, and then we're going to give us both those reasons. Let's read the Mishnah again. Amotzi, Teshto Mishum Shemra Lo Yachzir. Mishum Neder Lo Yachzir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Neder Shiyad'u Bo Rabbim, any Neder that was done in public, Lo Yachzir. Now, what does a public mean? That she says, Shiyad'u Bo Rabbim, Shinedarto Ba Rabbim. She made the Neder in public. Okay? Lo Yachzir. De'en Lo Hafara. Because we're going to go according to the Gemara, it says, a neder that was made in public, we'll see what public means, there is no hafara. There is no way you can absolve such a neder. The Rabbi Yehuda, lo chayish lekilkula. Rabbi Yehuda over here, he's not concerned about the kilkul reason. He's not concerned that, you know, that the guy might change his mind. Ela shelo yu benot yosef pirutzim nedarim. He's concerned that, well, we don't want the Jewish woman to be perutzim when it comes to making vows. Therefore, hilkach in nadra nidir benabim peritzutu benedarim. She makes a net like that. That's not they cannot matir it. So that's a perutza. So therefore, we're going to punish her that in, if he gets divorced because of it, you cannot take her back because that's a really a nidir. That's a nidir that you cannot absolve. However, v'shelo yet oborabim yazir. But if it's a nidir that was done privately and he divorces her because of it, we'll let her go back. Because again, if you're going with the knas reason, since she made a neder that wasn't so strong, it's able to absolve it. So therefore, he'll allow her to take her back. But she said, the Yishla Farah, since it's absolvable, look at Suah, they did not punish her. That's Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He makes a difference between where the neder was made, public or private. Next Shita. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol neder shesarich hakirat hacham, lo yazir. Any neder that needs hakirat hacham. What does that mean? Certain nedarim, you got to go in front of the rabbi in order to ask for a petah. You got to ask for a. He'll ask you, you know, if you would have known this and this and this, would have you ever made the neder? He tries to find an angle how to absolve the neder. And the husband has no rights to break the neder. Certain nedarim that the husband, it's out of his league to break. We have to go to a rabbi. So he says, any neder, kol neder shesarich hakirat hacham lo yazir. What's the logic? And she says, he holds the reason is mishum kilkul, and therefore ilkach neder she'enu yachol lafed, aval hacham yachol latir yachol lekalkel etaget la'achad shetanase la'achad v'yomar ilu hayiti yodeya she'acham yachol latir lo hayiti migarsha. The guy can come. He doesn't have rights to be mefed the neder of this type, right? Now what's going to happen? She's going to get divorced from her. She's going to get married to somebody else. Now she's going to come along and they're going to tell him, you know what, the halakha is, by the way, she could have went to the rabbi to get this neder. He says, whoa, if I would have known that, I wouldn't have given the get in the first place. Now already the second children of the second marriage are going to be considered mamzerim. So therefore, when you tell the guy from the beginning, listen, she makes such a neder over there, you can't take her back. So therefore, when he knows that from the beginning, he knows that regardless, you can't take her back. But if he wouldn't know that, he can make a regret. However, the same Rabbi Meir says, "Veshe'en sarich hakirat hacham yachzir." But a neder that doesn't need hakirat hacham, that he was able to do it himself, the law is what yachzir. That she says, "She'eno sarich." Look at the third white line in that she, "She'eno sarich hakirat hacham." Elo yachol lafer lo tzrichu hakem leesor alav milachzira. Veshe'eno yachol kalkela v'lomar ilu hayiti yodeya. Sharei neder patuach hu v'yal lafer v'lo efer. Here I'm not worried about the kilkul, because he knew that he was able to be mefid the neder. So I'm not worried about him coming along to say, well, if I would have known, I would have, you know, you could have done it. So therefore, in such a case, no problem is going to come out of it. Which if he wants to take her back, take her back. Not worried about any sort of regret. Okay, so that's the difference between Rabbi Meir. Okay, Rabbi Meir's haluk is, hacham can be mefid, I'm worried about a regret. If he can be mefid it, I'm not worried about a regret, and therefore he can take her back. Now, Amar Bil Azar. Again, Rabbi Meir is going with the reason, the main reason the Mishnah is the kilkul factor. Okay? Amar Bil Azar. Lo asru ze ela mipene ze. It's a little cryptic. They weren't or said this only on account of this. Rashi. First wide line. Lo asru ze shesarich hakirat hakam la'azir. The only, he learns the opposite of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that the real Isur is on the case of where he's able to be Mifir. That's the case where he cannot take her back. And he's saying the only reason why they were Osir, the case of where the Hacham can be Mifir, is only a Gezerah to the real case of Hafara. So he holds both cases Lo Yazir, but the real Lo Yazir is going on the case where he can make Hafara, and we're going to make a Gezerah on the hafara of himself, we're going to make a isur on the case of the hacham atu, the real case of where he's able to be mifed. What's the logic? So that she explains. Elam apneze she'enu sarich debetzarich, which means in a case over there that you need hakirat hacham, lo haya lanu lachosh lekilkul. לפי שאינו יכול לומר, אילו הייתי יודע שהחם יכול לתירו, לא הייתי מגרשך. דענן צהדה, אין אדם רוצה שתתפזה אשתו בבית דין בפני חכם, ללך לבית דינו ולשאל על נדרה. He has a different shita, Rabbi Elazar. He says, you know what? A husband does not want to humiliate his wife under any circumstances to bring her in front of a rabbi to have to absolve her of nedarim. And therefore, we're not going to say, if I would have known that the rabbi could have absolved, I would have taken her. You wouldn't have taken her. And therefore, there's no gizera in the case where you got to go to a hacham that the guy would ever regret. Because again, rule, according to Rabbi Elazar, a man will not humiliate his wife to bring her in front of the rabbi. Ela, the only reason why it is asu to take her back, mepnei neder she'eno tzarich hacham, ubaal yachol lafer, asro et kulan, shelo yomar ilo hayiti yodea she'hayiti yachol lafer lo hayiti megarshech. He didn't know. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, listen, the guy, she made a neder, right? He thinks he's stuck. He don't know he has his options. He divorced her. Then he comes along and they tell him, by the way, you could have been mefer. Oh, had I known I could have been mefer, I would have done it. That's the real case he's worried about. He's not worried about the rabbi case. The rabbi case, he never would have regretted such a thing, which is because he never would have even taken her to the beit din, because he didn't want to embarrass her. So then we come down, we have a fantastic machloket over here between the Bimir and the Elazar, and have a look at it. The Meir comes along and says, on the neder that needs hakirat hakam, that's the one you're worried about. That's the one you're worried about. And on the one of himself, you're not worried because no kilkul can come out. However, according to the Bila Azad, he says both of them you're concerned. More concerned about the neder that he can take off because you're worried that he's not going to know that he was able to take it off. He'll regret. And in that case, we're making gizra also the case where you need hakirat hakam. The Gemara will explain all this clearly. Comes the Gemara and says a story. I'm going to be Yosef and Yehuda. Ma'aseh. Besidon, be'ahad shamar de'eshto. Guy told his wife, kunam im eni migarshach. No migarshach. He said, now, kunam, you're going to be forbidden to me if I don't divorce you. Okay? Vigarshah. And he divorced her. Vetiru lo hachemim she'azirinna mepnei tikkun ha'olam. The rabbis allowed him to take her back. Mepnei tikkun ha'olam. We will wait, as she says, for the Gemara to explain what the story was and what the Tikkun Olam over here is. Gemara is going to explain. Now we start the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Min Yomei Amar Rav Nachman Dehu She'amar La Mishum Shem Ra Ani Motziach Mishum Neder Ani Motziach. Which means this Mishnah that we said that in Mahzirin because of Neder and Shem Ra is talking about where he tells her explicitly, the reason why I'm divorcing you is because of the Shem Ra that came out on you, of the Znud, or because of the Nidr. I mean, he's got to tell her that at the time of the divorce, that's why he's divorcing her. Okay? That's the case where the rabbi said it's Asur to take her back. But if he didn't say it, it's not going to be Asur. What's the logic? So the Gemara explains. Kasabar, ta'ama mai, what's the reason? Mishum kilkula. The concern over here is because of Kilkul. I amar lahache. If he told her, that's the reason. Matze mikalkela. Why? Because she can get married to somebody else. He's going to say, oh, the znut was a hoax. Didn't happen. Or the nidarim were taken off. Therefore, I regret. However, but if he didn't say that, that's the reason. Lo matze mikalkela. He cannot be mikalkela. Therefore, he'd be able to take her back. Let's read Rashi. Ta'ama. Second line. Tama de matniti mishum kalkula. Shelo ye kalkelena al ba'ala lahar shetinase lahar. After she gets married to another person. Viyomar, idwaiti yodea shedvarim bada'in. If I would have known that the znut was all rumors just, osha neder yeshlo afarao, the neder was able to be absolved. Afidu ayunetini me'aman. If they would have given me all the money in the world, loaiti migashech. Right? Vechen amarti bishad grushin. And hey, I told you at the time I divorced you, shemepne kachani motziech. The only reason why I'm divorcing you is because of those rumors. Ukshegerashtich hayab bedati la'azirech imimsu devarim bedaim. The reason why I told it to you was to show you that if it was found out to be all false, I wanted to take it back. Venimsa get batil. The get is going to be nullified because it was given under a false pretense. Ubanea menasheni mamzerim. Because really she's considered eshet hishtefichach omrim lo kodem gerushin. That's what I tell the guy before he gives the get. Hevi yodeya. Listen, you're divorcing her because of these reasons over here. You got to know you're not going to be able to take her back forever. Now the guy can't come along and say, oh, you see, at the time of the divorce, I was planning on taking you back. What do you mean? We told you from the point over there, you can't take her back. Even if she doesn't get married to somebody else in the interim, he didn't wait to investigate. He gave the get right away. What does he show us? Must be he didn't like her anyway, and therefore he wanted a divorce. So he can't come along after the fact, not come along and say, no, no, I want to take her back. We told you you're not going to be able to take her back. And therefore you can't come along and say that you were planning on that. And therefore that's the reason of the first Shita. That's the opinion of, actually, Rav Yosef Bar Binyamin, the name of Rav Nachman. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says another opinion. Ika de Amre, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Binyamin, Amar Rav Nachman, same rabbi, but in a different version. Sarich Shiomar La, at the time of the divorce, you have to tell the wife, Heve Yodat, you have to know, Shemishum Shemra Ani Motzich, I'm divorcing you because of the bad reputation that you have, Umishum Neder, or because of the fact that you make Nederim Ani Motzich. Now what is this opinion saying over here? That she says, V'tzarich Lomar, Tiknu Hakamim Lemotziah Shiyomar Lakim. Sounds like more, the rabbis established to tell her this at the time of the divorce. However, whether he said it or not, don't take her back. Doesn't matter whether you said it. It's like a tekanah. The rabbis want you to tell her. What's this logic going by? The concern of, according to this reason, is we don't want the Jewish woman to be promiscuous when it comes to znut or making nidarim. Therefore, you got to tell it in order to embarrass her, which means you want to give her musar. You should know the reason why I'm divorcing you is because you're committing znut, and therefore it'll teach her the other ladies a lesson. So therefore, it's two reasons. According to this reason over here, the concern is lo yazir, because of what? Once already she commits znut, or even there's a rumor on it, or she's nedarim she's involved in, we want to penalize all the women so they learn. You do this, you cannot take this husband back over there. And if that's what we want her to be told, that's the reason, so she'll know exactly, you know, she'll be embarrassed by this, so she'll know exactly the avon that she's committing. Okay, good. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Kilishna Kamav, Tanya Kilishna Batra. We actually have Braito to support both reasons. Tanya Kilishna Kama Amar Rabbi Meir Mepene Ma Amru Amotzi Tishto Mishum Shemra Lo Yazir Mishum Nede Lo Yazir. What's the reason why you cannot take her back if it's because of zanut rumor or nedarim? Shema Terech V'Tenase La'Acher. Right, she's going to go marry somebody else. V'Nimsa Devarim B'Daim. And it's going to find out that the rumors were false. V'Yomar Ilu Hayiti Yodea Shekenu. If I would have known over here, if they would have given me 100 mane, then if this is applied to supporting the first opinion.
What does that mean, if they would have given me?
Which means if all the money in the world, I wouldn't have divorced her. That's what he's just trying to say. If I would have known, nothing would have forced me to divorce her, or caused me to divorce her. Get patel, ubaneha mamzirim, therefore, omrim lo. They tell him in the beginning, lo yazir. And therefore, once they tell him that, he can't come along and say, I was intending on taking her back if it would be false. What do you tell him? You knew you couldn't have taken her back. We told you explicitly at the time that you can't take her back. So that stops that. Umishum neder lo yazir. Okay, the same thing, mishum neder. So that's a braita supporting the first version. Tanya, Kedishna Batra. We have a braita supporting the second version of Rav Nachman. Amar Rabbi El Azar ben Rabbi Yosef Bipnema Amru. What's the reason why they said? So the Jewish girls will not be pirutza when it comes to the rules of arayot and the laws of nedarim. Therefore the Beit Din tells the guy before he gives a divorce, emor la, tell her explicitly why she's getting divorced over here. Good. So that's the two reasons of Rav Nachman, whether you go like the first version or the second version. Okay, it's supported in the Braita. That comes a quote from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol neder shiyad'u bo rabim lo yazir, v'shelo yad'u bo rabim yazir. So the Biyudah's logic was like this. Any neder that was done in public, so lo yazir, why? Because that's a neder, that's really a nedranit. That's a neder you cannot even make a hafara on. But if the Rabbim didn't know about it, according to the Biyudah, that means that you can make hafara on such a neder. So his concern, the Biyudah, basically is he's worried about that we don't want the Jewish girls to become nedranim. Right, it's the knas factor. I'm only going to knas, says the Biyudah, when she makes a neder that's a binding neder that you can't get off. But if it's a neder that can be taken off, I'm not going to knas her. And therefore, if the husband divorces, he'll be able to take her back. What's the reason why a neder that's made in public, you cannot take it off? Where do you see this? That a neder that's made in public, you cannot take it off? Dichtiv. Now, let's go back to a famous story in the Tanakh. Yoshua ben Nun, when he came into Eretz Yisrael, was commanded to kill all the inhabitants of Eretz Canaan. Right? One of those inhabitants were the Giv'onim. They actually lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were bound by the Torah law of Lo Tehayeh Kol Neshama. You cannot leave any soldiers or any Goyim alive. What did they do? They dressed up and they made themselves as if they came from a far off place. And they came to Yoshua ben Nun, and they came along and said, we want a peace treaty, we're from a far off place, we're not from Canaan. Yoshua believed them, he got fooled. And he made a neder in front of the Rabbim that why he's not going to touch them. Now, then what happened? We found that they were really from Canaan. And now, Yoshua still kept his word. So the Gemara says, why is he going to keep his word? Because since he made the neder barabim, there's no hafara. Now, we have to see exactly what the story of it, because the Chavra was done under a false pretense. So comes the Gemara and says, Dechtiv, ve'lo hikum b'nei Yisrael, ki nishbe'u lahem nisi'e ha'eda. Which means, since the nisi'e ha'eda, they made the neder in front of all Klai Yisrael, so therefore they did not, they kept their word, and did not attack them. So comes the Gemara and says, which means they did not make hafara. Ve'rabbanan, so the rabbis who argue on this come along and say, no. The reason why they kept their word is for a different reason. Who said the shivwa was even hal? Why? And they really didn't come from a far off land. The shivwa was not hal on them at all. Why? Because it was done under a false pretense. The only reason why they didn't kill them is Kiddush Hashem, because they didn't want the Goyim to come along and say that the Jewish people don't keep their words. Because according to the rabbis, this has got nothing to do with a neder that was done in Berabim. They kept their word, really. They didn't have to keep their word over it. This was done under a false pretense. They tricked us. The neder is not hal bichlal. Oh, so what's the reason why they kept their word? Kiddush Hashem. They don't want to make Halul Hashem. Why? Because if they're going to break their word, the Goyim are going to come along and say, oh, they promised us, they didn't keep their word. So that's the rabbis. Now, really, I have to ask a question. Tosfot asked this question. What? And according to the other opinion, the Biyudah, he doesn't hold that this was a false pretense? Of course it was a false pretense. So he says a beautiful explanation to Tosfot. He says, Rabbi Yehuda says like this. If it would be permissible to break a neder that was done by Rabbim, that would be a legal halachic deen. It wouldn't be halul Hashem because we're following legal roots. But from the fact that you see that they were concerned about the halul Hashem factor, even though in this case it was false pretense, that must be that generally speaking, a neder that's made by Rabim is asur lafir. No, even the Buddha agrees this neder of it was a false pretense. Really, it's not hal. But generally speaking, if it would be mutar to be mefer barabim, so it wouldn't be halal Hashem. We're following the regular rules of what we're allowed to do. Must be from the fact that they opted to make the Kiddush Hashem, even though it was under a false pretense, must be because generally speaking, it's asur to do such a thing. And therefore, that's where it is. Ra'ayah is. But in any event, that's the source where you see the Buddha says a neder that was done barabim. אין לו הפרה, וכמה רבים? The question is, what is רבים? רב נחמן אמר שלושה, רבי יצחק אמר עשרה. Okay, 3 or 10. What's the sources over here? רב נחמן אמר שלושה, רב נחמן comes along and says שלושה. We learn it from the case over here of a lady that is a zava. Zavara, she has a tum'ah coming out of her body. I'll give you the full pasuk. The pasuk says, V'isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim belo et nidata teme'ahi. Now it says yamim rabim. Now how many days does a lady have to have a flow to consider herself a zava gedola? So it says, yamim shnayim. Yamim teaches us 2 days. Rabim comes to add an extra day, shelosha. So you see what the word rabim is used in the pasuk of zava to teach you three. So we go back to nedarim. A ned that's made barabim, and you see the Torah calls rabim three, so therefore three is enough. The other shita, Rabbi Yitzhak Amar, asara, dichtiv, eda, which means the pasuk comes along and says, by the case of Yeshua ben Nun, ki nishbi'u lem nisi'ir eda, right? It calls them eda. And we know an eda is 10. How do you know? Because when the Meragidim came along, they were referred, God says to them, Ad matai the eda ha-ra'azot. This bad eda. Now we know Yeshua and Caleb, they were the good spies. So take out them. So 12 minus 2, you have 10. So we've seen eda is 10. And we know in Yeshua ben Nun says the word that the neder was made in front of the eda. So therefore, the neder of Rabim is 10. Comes Gibran and says clearly further, Rabim Iromir, Kon neder shesarich. And Rabbi El-Azhar. So let's review the machlok that we had in the Gemara. Rabbi El-Azhar held that the real Isur over here is what? A lady that the husband can make kafara. When the husband can make kafara, that's where Rabbi El-Azhar is concerned that what? That he cannot take her back. Because we're concerned that what? He's going to come along and say, I didn't know that I was able to make kafara. And if he's going to regret, and if we're concerned that she's going to marry somebody else in the interim, you're going to have mamzerim. But Rabbi Elazar really wasn't concerned in the case we have to go to hacham, because the guy's never going to say, if I would have known, I would have taken it to betin. Because we have an assumption according to Rabbi Elazar, a man will not embarrass his wife to take her in front of a betin. So therefore, we don't have to suspect that in the case we have hakirat hacham, that he would have said, I would have done that. We have a hazak, he wouldn't have done it, okay? But still we're going to say that case add to the real case of where he's able to make hafara. So Tanya Rabbi El-Azhar Omed lo asru tzarich ela mipnei she'eno tzarich. The only reason why we said the case, to take her back, in a case where you need hakirat hakam, only add to a case of eno tzarich, hakirat hakam. So comes Gemara and says, but the Bimir says no. The Bimir says the exact opposite. The Bimir says the main case that's going to be as soon as the case of Hakirat Hakam. Right? Because he learns the logic is what? That a guy will take his wife to a bet. And if we're concerned that what? If he's going to find that after he divorced her, hey, if I would have known that I could have went to the rabbi to get this neder offer, I wouldn't have done it. So obviously you have to say that the mahlok between the Bimir and the Bilazar is on the psychology of a man. Will a man be willing to embarrass his wife to take her to a bet deen to make a farad adarim or not? And the Gemara explains that, what is the source of their machloket? Rabbi Meir Sabar, Adam Rosei Shetitpazeh Ishto Bebetin. Right? A guy doesn't mind, that means lochpato, he doesn't mind that he's going to have to take his wife to the betin in order to make a hatara. Therefore, he can come along and say, had I known, I would have never made the neder. Therefore, we're going to be concerned in such a case, therefore, do yazir. Because what's going to happen if he regrets, now the get is batel, she got married to somebody else, the children that they're going to have in the second marriage are going to be considered memzim, and he would do such a thing. And therefore, he doesn't want his wife to become embarrassed, humiliated, and if we're not concerned that such a case will ever happen. And therefore, the only reason why it's as soon in that case is after the real case where, let's say, she made an end that he can be mefid. And what are you worried? He's not going to know he can make kafara. He's going to get divorced. Somebody else is going to marry you. They're going to have children. Hey, I was able to make kafara on this neder. I didn't know that. I regret the whole situation. Now you can have mamzerim. Therefore, if according to that, that's why they tell him in the beginning, listen, don't claim you were planning on taking her back. You didn't. You knew you couldn't take her back. And therefore, that claim is now out the window. Instant. That's why they tell him at the time of the divorce, know that you can't take her back. So that takes away the premise that he can't come along later on and say, no, I was planning on taking her back if I knew the facts. No. You can't claim that because we told you clearly. And if you weren't patient and you gave her a divorce right away, it assumes you wanted a divorce under all circumstances. Amar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'aseh B'Sidon. Now we learned at the end of the Mishnah that there was a case over there from a fellow in Sidon that he told his wife kunam, right? You make a neder against you, I'm divorcing you. You made a neder, he's going to divorce his wife. Right? You're forbidden to me unless I divorce you. And what do? He divorced her. And the rabbis came along and said, could take her back because of what's called tikkun ha'olam. So it comes to Gemara and says, my tana diktani ma'aseh. Which means, we're talking about over here, stories where the lady is making the nedarim. Now you bring me a story over here to support what? Where the man made a nedarim? I mean, this doesn't belong in our Mishnah. It's not the same direction, right? That's Gemara. My tana diktani ma'aseh. What is this story coming from not pertinent to Mishnah. There's actually words missing in the Mishnah, and therefore you have to read it like this. All this is talking about what? With the husband cannot take her back. That's why she made the darim. But if let's say he made the nidarim yazir, he could take her back. Because the law doesn't apply when it comes to him making the nidarim. The whole logic was what? That he's going to say, if I would have known the law when it comes to her, or knas, but those laws do not apply to him. Okay. He explains over here like this. Maybe you have a suspicion. The Ramban says this. Maybe you have a suspicion like this. If I would have known that there could be matid, that I wouldn't divorce my wife. That's a nedarim that she made. She could have come along and said, "Mekivan shelo alcha etzlacham natrit a neder." Hayasmu she yodat she'en la petach shetuchal lomar. Which means, for the fact that she didn't go to the rabbi, so he says, I figured that there was no way to get out of this neder over here, and now I'm realizing that there is a way to get out of the neder, for I regret. When the husband himself makes the neder, he cannot say, I didn't know that I didn't have eter, because he should have asked if he had eter. Which means he himself knows exactly the stipulations that he made his neder on, if he's able to get out of it or not. And there's no inyan of the knas as well over here, because when the husband made the neder, we don't want ladies that normally make nedarim quickly, we don't want to promote that. But a man who doesn't make nedarim as much, therefore there's no problem of knas as well. So therefore, when a man makes the neder, we have no concerns. And Gibra proves the story of the man. So comes the Gemara and says, my kunam. What was the kunam over here? Which means normally, kunam normally says, this item is going to be forbidden to me like a korban. Like we don't have a second nedarim. Normally when you use the word kunam in a nedir, you're saying, just like a korban is asur to me, kunam, this item, whatever it may be, is going to be asud to me like a korban if I don't divorce you. Now, what item did he osir on himself? The Mishnah doesn't tell us. So comes the Gemara and says, see, normally when you say kunam, you got to be pointing to an object. You can't just say kunam. Kunam, what? Which items are going to be forbidden to you? So the Gemara says, Amar avuna ve'omer ye'asru kol perot shebe'olam alai im eni migarshech. He came along and said, all the fruit in the world are going to be forbidden to me unless I divorce you. Okay, so he pointed to an item. Otherwise, the neder is not a neder. You cannot say kunam in the air. It's got a hal on a item. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. The rabbi said you can take her back. Pshita, which means, why not? Which means, of course, you can take her back. So Gemara says, oh, maybe I'll make a gezerah. Because of Rabbi Natan. What's Rabbi Natan? The Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer. Hanoder ki'ilu bana bama. A person that makes nedarim, it's as if he built an altar, a bama, at the time where it's asu to build them. At the time of the Beit HaMikdash, where let's say where it's asu to have a bama, which is really, they don't want a person to be making nedarim. Okay? V'amekayimo And a person, let's say, that fulfills the neder, he didn't go to the rabbi to absolve himself. Kilu ekriv alea korban. Now already you did a full avon. You made the neder, that's the first thing. That's you built the sacrifice, you built the altar. You went through with it, you didn't go to the rabbi to get it off you. Now it's like you brought a korban on the altar itself, which means really it's not we that a person does not make the nederim. But if he makes a neder, then I'm going to the rabbi right away to get it off, because we don't want to get him accustomed to making the nederim. Okay? That's one interpretation. Some say the opposite. Some say, well, I'll get to the Kamashma in a second. Some say that when a person builds a bama, he thinks he's doing extra. Not only am I bringing Korban to Beit HaMikdash, but I'm going to bring a private altar over there, and I'm going to bring a Korbanot over there, and therefore really he's making a Isur. So the same thing over here. A guy thinks by making a Darim, he's doing a good thing. I'm saying more things on myself. The Torah says 613 things are Isur. I'm going further. That's like a bama. Don't do extra. In any event, so I would have thought over here that what? That maybe I should knas the guy. You made a neder and you followed through. So therefore, maybe knas the guy because you made the darim and you made something that's really not proper in the eyes of the hachamim. Maybe don't take your wife back. You're going to knas the guy. Kamash ma'alan, comes the Mishnah and says, no, we don't knas the Baal in such a case. You would have thought that you penalize him for making a neder because nederim are not a good thing. Kamash ma'alan, we don't go that far. Now it says, "Mepnei tikkun ha'olam." The Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, "May tikkun ha'olam ika." What is the tikkun ha'olam over here? You bought a husband case. What's tikkun ha'olam? Amar lav sheshat aresha. So this tikkun ha'olam is on the first case. That which we said it's asur for the husband to take back his wife, right? In a case where she's an adranit or znut comes out, the tikkun ha'olam. What's the tikkun ha'olam? As we learned, the tikkun ha'olam is because kilkul. Or because of benot shelo yu benot yisrael pirutzot, the tikkun ha'olam is going back on the case where she made the nedarim. That tikkun ha'olam is explaining the resha. And what's tikkun ha'olam? Like we said, either because he's going to mekalkel her, right? He's going to regret, and now she's going to go marry somebody else. Or because of the fact that we don't want the girls to become accustomed to znut or nedarim. So therefore, the tikkun ha'olam, the rabbi said, you cannot take her. Right, the last line in the Mishnah. Right? No. Betirulo. Period. Ipnei tikkun ha'olam. Back to the beginning of the Mishnah. I know that. Yep. No. We put a period over there. Which means they let him take him back. Right? Period. Oh, you should know in the beginning of the Mishnah, by the way, when we let the lady, that's because of when we are osera. Ipnei tikkun ha'olam. Comes the Yavrat says, Ravina Aba Leolam Asifa. Ravina says, it's written at the end of the Mishnah. It's probably going back on the last case of the Mishnah. V'achi Ketani. And this is what the Mishnah means to say. En Bezu Mipne Tikkun Ha'olam. Which means, it really says, Mipne Tikkun Ha'olam means, in this case, there is no Tikkun Ha'olam really that applies. Which is the really Mishnah's coming and say, there's no problem in this case over here. I mean, the Resha, there was a problem of Tikkun Ha'olam. In this case over here, you really have no problem. Look at Ashi, right before the Mishnah, in Bezu, Hachi Kamar, Vetiru lo Chachamim Shi'azirena Bepnei Tikkun Ha'olam Shelo Nimsa Kan Le'esor. Which means the rabbis were matir the husband to take her back, Bepnei Tikkun Ha'olam Shelo Nimsa Kan Le'esor, which means there's no reason to be osirness over here. There's no, the tikkun ha'olam reason does not apply. And the Mishnah continues, Hamotzi et ishto mishum ailonit. Person divorces his wife because she is an ailonit. That is a lady that did not mature and have simanim, signs of a lady. She's not able to get pregnant, and so on and so forth. And when he got married, Rashi says, she says, "Shelo ekir ba keshekansa." He didn't notice it when he got married. Bekol makom sidicha get, but he still needs a get. You can't say that the kiddushin initially was a mistake because he didn't know. The en adam osir beilato beilat zenut. We don't want to say that retroactively the kiddushin was not a kiddushin because then all the relations that he had are going to turn into beilat zenut. We don't want to do that. Ubaal l'shem kiddushin. So you have to say that he married her for the sake of kiddushin. Just that now that he realizes that she's an ailoni, So therefore, he wants to give her a get. So the law is Hamotzi Tishto Mishum Ailonit Rabbi Yehuda Amir Lo Yahzir. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't take her back. V'achamim Omrim Yahzir. Achim say you can take her back. Now, what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? Why shouldn't you be able to take her back? So that she gives us the logic. Rabbi Yehuda Amir Lo Yahzir. She might get married to a second guy, and she might end up having a child. That means she really wasn't in Ailonit. The Yomar, the guy, the first guy is going to come along and say, "Ido aiti yodei ashekin." If I wouldn't know she able to have children, afilu notnim li kuf mane. Even if they would give me a lot of money, lo aiti megarshich. I wouldn't have divorced you. Uldaat ken gereshtich, which means I only divorced you under that condition that what sheim yavodach simanim. That if simanim you would have manifested themselves, shazirich, I would have taken you back. If I would have known that you would have been able to have children, I would have never divorced you in the first place. And what's going to happen now? What's going to happen is now he regrets his original divorce. The second guy now got married, but really she's considered like an eshet ish, because the guy really said, I gave you a stipulative girushin. Therefore, the kids are now mamzerim. So the Biyuda says, you cannot take her back. Now what are you going to gain by not taking her back? So she says, "Defikach umlim lo kodem girushin." Before the guy gets divorced, to this Ailonit, he said, they tell him, like, you have to know, Shemotzi tishto mishum Ailonit lo yachzirenu olamit. You got to know, you can't take this lady back. So therefore that knocks out his claim when he comes later on and says, no, my intention was to take her back. Listen, you knew from the beginning, we told you, you can't take her back. So that already will solve the problem of the second marriage where she, let's say, has a child, therefore he's regretting. So therefore it seems over here clearly that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about what we call in the halakha kilkul. He's worried about the situation that she might, the husband can be mekalkel his wife with a regret. Comes Gemara and says, Mishnah says, "Vachim emurim yachzir." Vachim say, "No problem. They're not worried about kilkula." Fine. Niset leacher. Let's say, continue the case. She got married to somebody else. Ve'ayula bani memenu. Sure enough, she had children from the second guy. Now she's really not an ailonit. Now, normally, when a person divorces an ailonit, she loses a ketubah. She doesn't get a ketubah. Okay. So now, really, she wasn't an ailonit. So now she wants to come back to the first husband and say, hey, by the way, I really wasn't Ailonit. Could you pay me my ketubah, please? V'hi tova'at ketubata. She's coming and claiming now a ketubah from the husband number one. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the guy can tell her the following line. Omer la shtikutich yafeh mediburich. Your silence is better than your speech. Which means, really, better you shouldn't talk over here, because retroactively, if I regretted this situation over there, you tell me that you weren't Ailonit, technically your children technically would be mamzerim, even though we made a takana already that we can't take you back, but still you're better off keeping quiet over here than making any claims. As she says, shtikutech yafidlich shiyomar ilu yedalti besofo liten lich ketubah lo gerashtich. Because the guy can say, so if I wouldn't know that I'd pay you a ketubah, I wouldn't have divorced in the first place. Again, even though the rabbis made the takana already, that it's not going to be a problem because he can't say that because they made the takana of lo yachzir olamit, but still, just the fact that he can claim such a thing, he's better off telling, listen, you're better off not not saying anything over here. Okay, now the Gemara is going to analyze this over here. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. The Memra, the Rabbi Yehuda, highest the Kilkula, the Rabbanan, the highest the Kilkula. But from our Mishnah, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is the rabbi that's concerned about Kilkul, and Rabbanan are not. Problem is, but we learned in the Mishnah earlier the opposite. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Motzi et Tishto Mishum Shemra, Lo Yazir, Umishum Neder, Lo Yazir. We learned the opinion of the rabbis. They were the ones that said, in the previous Mishnah, that if, let's say, a lady is a nedranit, right? She makes a lot of nedarim. Or she, let's say, a shemra came out of znut. So what did the rabbi say? You divorced her as a result of that. You cannot take her back. Why? Because we're concerned that if the rumors now are negated, the guy's going to regret. And so, I wouldn't have divorced if the rumors were going to be, that there were false rumors. What's going to end up happening? She got married to a second guy, Mem Zerim. So she sees the rabbis in the last Mishnah that they're worried about the situation of Kilkun. That Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Nedir Shiyad'u Bo Rabim Lo Yachzir. Vishelo Yad'u Bo Rabim Yachzir. Rabbi Yehuda was not concerned about Kilkun. Rabbi Yehuda was worried about over here a Knas, which means he should listen. Any Nedir that was made in public, that's the type of Nedir that it's not nullifiable. So such a type of neder, because we don't want the ladies to become nedranit. So therefore, in that case, if you divorced her because she made a neder in public, you can't take her back. But if it's a neder she did in private, which is nullifiable by the husband, then you can take her back. So therefore, you see, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about kilkul. And now Mishnah V is the reverse. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's worried about kilkul, and the banan, not. So we have a stira to Rabbi Yehuda, but a banan, and the banan. So the Gemara's Alma, what do you see over here? Rabbanan, Haishil Kilkula. Right, in the previous Mishnah, he said the rabbis are concerned about Kilkula, Rabbi Yehuda, no Haishil Kilkula. Gemara is Amar Shmuel, Ipuch. So the Gemara comes along and says, switch the Shitot around.
Which one?
Our Mishnah. Which means this Mishnah over here, change it. Which means say the Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Yahzir, because you're not worried about Kilkul, it's consistent. And the Rabbi Yehuda will say, lo, and Rabbanan will say, Lo Yahzir, consistent to the last Mishnah. Gebra says, Veham Diktari Sefa. But yeah, but the Sefa of this Mishnah says, Niseet Lachir. Right? She got married to a second guy. Vayula banim himin, when she had children, vihi tobat ketubatam. Right? She's claiming her ketubana because she's really not an ailonit. Amar of Yehuda, omer la. Yehuda says, you tell her, shtikutich yafem idburich. Right? Your silence is better than your speech. Which means what? That if Yehuda is concerned about kilkul. Because that's what you're telling her. I better keep quiet because I can regret this. Nechlal, Rabbi Yehuda hayush to kilkula. So you see that again, you can't tell me that you're reversing it, because the end of the Mishnah, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says, you tell us, and you better keep quiet, because if I regret this kiddushin that I gave you over here, you're in trouble. So don't ask for your ketubah, because you better keep quiet. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's choshesh to kilkul. Gemara says, hanami ipuch. Switch that also. Just like you switched the beginning of the Mishnah, switch the end of the Mishnah also. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan made that statement over there. So therefore, the first derech is, we're switching our Mishnah around to make it consistent with the early Mishnah. Abaye Amar, Abaye comes along and says, Le'olam la tipuch. Don't switch anything. Keep all the Mishnayot as is. Look at Rashi. La tipuch. V'Rabbi Yehuda vaday hayish nekilkula. And for sure, Rabbi Yehuda in this Mishnah is definitely concerned about kilkul. That's why he's saying that if he divorced the Eidlonit, lo yahzir, you cannot take her back. The gabin neder also. And why by nedarim wasn't he concerned? Hainu ta'ama de lo hayish de kasavad leka kilkula. There's no kilkul that can come out by neder. Why? The neder at tzarich hakirat hakam. Because you have two types of nedarim, right? You have a neder either that needs a hakira v'hacham, that needs to go to the rabbi, or you have a neder that the husband's able to nullify. Those are two types of nedarim. So I'll say Rabbi Yehuda is going to say like this. But a neder that needs a hakirat hakam, sabala kerabi al-azar, that we learned on the previous amud, that says what? De'en adam rasich t'mazeh ishto bebetin. Hilkach lo matzel mar ilo hayiti yodaya. Which is, if it needed a hakirat hakam, I'll say he goes like the opinion of Rabbi al-azar that says what? The guy's not going to come along and say, if I would have known that I could have taken you to a hakam, I wouldn't have divorced you. You know why he doesn't say that? Because a man does not want to embarrass his wife by taking him to a betting. So if the case is talking about a neder of hakirat hakam, he's not going to regret, because we have a hazakah, a guy does not want to embarrass his wife. Now, ubisheinu sarich, if it's a regular neder that the husband was able to nullify, savala kerebi meir, damar, en abal to'e, beneder should be a dolafir, which means a husband knows if he's allowed to be mefer nederim. And therefore, a claim cannot be made later on. If I would have known, I could have been mefer. What do you mean? The guy knows. If he's to this jurisdiction to be mefer nederim, he knows his rights. So therefore, really, I'll tell you, by making the last Mishnah, just explaining the Biyudah's logic, I'll tell you really what, the Biyudah really is choshesh v'kelkun. And that's what he says in the case of the Eidonit over here, lo yachzir. But in the case of the Darim, it won't come to Kilkul. Because give me the case. Either it's a neder that a hacham has to make hafara on. If it's that type of neder, I'm not worried that the husband's going to come along later on and regret. Oh, if I would have known that the hacham. Because we have a rule. Kot Rabbi Azad, that we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to that opinion, that says what? Adam in order to send a bazot to shto bebetin. And if it's a regular neder that he could have been mefir, we go like Rabbi Meir that holds that what? A husband knows his rights. And therefore, he cannot come along later on and say, oh, if I would have known. You knew you were able to be mefir. And the fact that you weren't being mefir, that means you weren't interested to be mefir. So therefore, keep Rabbi Yehuda by Elonit, where there is a legitimate kilkul situation. What's the kilkul situation? Now you had a child. Hey, I only divorced you because I thought you were an Elonit. Had I known that you were not an Elonit, I wouldn't have done it in the first place. That already is a legitimate kilkul. But the case of Nedarim, Mimanafshach, he doesn't hold of it can ever come to a kilkul. Like the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Be'isavala, Kirabi Meir, which means, in the case of where you don't need Hakirat Hakam, he holds like Rabbi Meir that says a person knows his rights and he can be able to be Mefir his wife's Nedarim. Vesabala Kirabi Azar, and he also holds like Rabbi Azar in the case where you need Hakirat Hakam, that you're not going to take your wife to Betim because you don't want to embarrass her. The Gemara explains this. Betzarich, in the case that you need Hakirat Hakam, Sabala Kirabi Azar. And therefore he's not going to want to embarrass his wife. Therefore we're not worried about any regret. In the case where he does not need Hakirat Hakam, he can do it himself. He also can be mir that what? That he knows his rights, and therefore he cannot come along later and say, if I would have known that I could have been mifir. Of course you knew you were able to be mifir, and you didn't. So therefore that's the way Abaye gets out of this question. Abaye says, don't change anything. Everything's fine. The Biyudah and the Mishnah, the Darim, there's no kilkul shayach according to the Biyudah. Mishnah, the case of Elonit is a shayach of kilkul. So, Amar Rava, the Biyudah, kasha. The Rabbanan, la kasha. Says, hold it, Abaye. You only answered half of Mishnah. You didn't answer the rabbis. Because the rabbis in the previous Mishnah, they were hoshesh for kilkul. But by the Elonit, they were not hoshesh. So you only answered half of stira. You answered the Biyudah to the Biyudah. But you didn't answer the banan ad rabbanan. Ela amar rava. So the Gemara says, Drabi Yehuda, la kashya kedishaninan. Which means, really, I'll tell you, like we answered just now, there's no question of Drabi Yehuda, because in the first Mishnah of Nedarim, and we're not concerned about a kilkul, either because he holds like Rabbi Elazar and he holds like Rabbi Meir, so that's not a concern. However, Drabanan ad rabbanan, la kashya, man hachamim. Who are the rabbis of this Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. Oh, what is the Rabbi Meir Shita? The Amar Ba'inan Tanai Kaful. Let's go back to that famous rule of a Tanai Kaful. When Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they wanted a piece of land on the other side of the Jordan, they didn't want to go into Eretz Israel, so Moshe Rabbeinu made a deal with them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said like this, if you're going to go in and fight with your brothers, in the war, then already we will give you the piece of land on the other side. But if you don't, no fight, then you have to come in and settle with everybody else. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave them the condition, he made what's called a Tanai Kaful, whereas we call it in the Halakha, a Tanai B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven, which was both ways. If you do it, then this happens. If you don't do it, that happens. And Rabbi Meir says that is the classic Tanai. That's the way we learn Tanaim, from the way Moshe Rabbeinu made the Tanai with B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven. And therefore he needs to be at what's called a Tanai Kaful, a double Tanai, giving both options. If yes, this happens. If not, no. And therefore I'll say like this. The author of this Mishnah, which is Hachamim, really is going according, is really Rabbi Meir. That says what you really need, generally speaking, when you make conditions, a Tanai Kaful. But what happened in this case? He didn't make the Tanai Kaful, which means when the guy divorced his wife, according to the Bimi, the way you divorce an Elonit in this case would be like this. If you're indeed an Elonit, then already the divorce is hal. But if you're not an Elonit, this is the way a Tanai Kaful would have worked here. But if you're not an Elonit, I'm telling you that the condition is off. Now, since you didn't make a Tanai Kaful in this Mishnah, so the Hachamim hold, so therefore it doesn't matter if she's found out not to be an Elonit. Since you didn't stipulate that explicitly, so therefore no matter what happens with this lady, the get is a get. That's why you can't come back later on and come along and say, oh, had I known. Which is really, Rabbanan, generally speaking, like we saw in the last one, are worried about kilkul. They're worried about kilkul. When a guy marries a lady and he's choshesh because she's making nedarim or because of znut, lo yazir. And I learned the previous mishnah was talking about where he made a tnai kaful. You have to learn the last mishnah. They didn't say it, but you have to speak that out, that he made a tnai kaful. That if yeh nedarim, then divorce. If there's really no nedarim, then I want out. Also, since he made a tnai kaful in the last mishnah, so now the concern is what? When, let's say, I'm concerned after it's found out that there's no nedarim, kilkul going to happen because she got married already. You have mabzedim coming out now. So in the last mishnah, when there was a tnai kaful, you have the kilkul factor. But I'll tell you, over here, he didn't make the tnai kaful. There's no kilkul that can come out. Because he can't regret anything. Because bottom line, he didn't stipulate it initially when he made the original tanai. So that's the way we can answer the banan ad rabanan. Let's read that she. That she says ve'acha b'delo kaflin. That's that she right before the mishnah. Shelo amar b'shad girushin. Ela, all he told her with the tamir girushin. Heve yodat shemishum aylonit ani motziech. Finish. He just told her one side. I'm divorcing you because you're an aylonit. Velo amar la v'im I at aylonit lo yeheget. He didn't say the other side. Tehashta haviget afilu en aylonit. And that's a get on a even if she's not an island. I cannot be kalkalai. Can I come and go say, if I would have known? Sorry, you didn't stipulate. So therefore, that's the shita of Rabbanan and Rabbanan Lakasha. That's the way the Gemara answers that question. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.